8, we're going to the book of 1 Timothy, to the 3rd chapter, verse 14 and verse 15. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come shortly, or unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou may knowest how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Amen. I want us to focus tonight our attention on these words, the house of God. The house of God. That's what the church is tonight. This is the house of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. There are religions that celebrate their temples with great finery. They have a lot of gold and silver and ornate carvings, statues, glorious windows, fabulous chandeliers. They almost make a god of a building. But God really doesn't want that. That's never been his interest. As a matter of fact, God commanded Israel. He said, when you build me an altar, he said, you just build it simple. He said, I don't want a great fancy altar. The focus is not to be the altar. The focus is to be God. The focus shouldn't be the building. It should be God. But on the other hand, as humble as it may be, if it's God's house, it ought to be a place that we revere like no other place on the earth. It ought to be a place that we love like no other place on the earth. Amen. It ought to be a place where everything is neat. Everything is clean. Everything is in order. And everybody should work to that end. Amen. Praise God. This is the house of God. We want to treat it that way. The house of God should be a place where we're on our very best behavior. Amen. I said it's a place where we ought to be on our very best behavior. Amen. It ought to be a place where we use our best manners. Ought to be a place where we wear our best, we have to present. Ought to be a place that we come and we just honor God with the very best that we have. Because it's the house of God. Now, I didn't say that tonight. That's what the scripture says. It says that this is the house of God. The church is the house of God. Amen. Now, we have a building tonight that houses our church. Aren't you glad we have one? Amen. I don't know if there was a particular building that Timothy went to in Ephesus. I don't know that. Historians say that the early church didn't really start buildings until somewhere around 200 A.D. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm not sure where they met together. But, you know, the church is the house of God because the Lord lives in here. The Bible says he does not live in houses made with hands. Amen. But he lives in our human hearts. Hallelujah. He dwells in our God-formed soul. That's where God lives. That's where he chooses to live tonight. Amen. So the Apostle Paul, writing from prison, I don't know if Paul was ever released. There's some people that think that Paul got out of prison for a short time, and then was rearrested and beheaded. I don't know. There's not enough evidence to know anything. We were not there. But everybody's welcome to an opinion, I suppose. Amen. I don't know if he got out or not. I do know this. He's writing to Timothy, and he says, I'm hoping to come to thee shortly. That was his desire. He wanted to. He just didn't know if he'd get to. But he said, but if I tarry long, he said, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, behave yourself. This is the house of God. Amen. Isn't that an interesting statement? And so he goes on from here, and he begins to tell them how they ought to behave themselves in the house of the Lord. Amen. And he gives some details, and we'll cover some of those in just a minute. But he calls this house of God, he calls it, first of all, the house of God, or the household of God. The Greek word is oikos, and it means an extended family. You remember the Bible talks about Peter went and preached to Cornelius, and he was saved, and all of his house. That means all of his household, all of his extended family. That means his wife, his children, and if his son and his children were married, his in-laws. All of his extended family were saved, the scripture says. And so when the Bible talks about the house of God, it's talking literally about the family of God. And it's good to remember that we are a family. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to have a good family. Now, I know we live in a time, tragically, when there are families that are not good families. I grew up in a good family, and I thank God for that. I do not say that as a matter of pride. I say that as a matter of gratitude. I understand that. I've dealt with a lot of families in the last 35 years, and so I understand that families are not all of them like the one that I grew up in. The first sermon funeral that I ever preached was a man that committed suicide. And I was a young 20-something-year-old preacher. And I went there expecting to comfort folks. And I've never been in a colder place in my life. I've never been in a place where people were more hateful to one another. At a time like that, I was shocked. You didn't have to worry about anybody crying. And I thought, this is different than any family I've been a part of. And that was an introduction that not all families are the same. But I'm saying to you tonight, no matter what kind of family you may have come from, there's a great family to come to. Amen. There's a place where you can be loved. There's a place that will accept you. There's a place that will help you. There's a place that people will pray for you. There's a place that people will include you. There's a place where people will do their very best to help you to be saved and make it to heaven. And that is the family of God. Amen. So we're a family tonight. Amen. We are, families are to love one another. Of course, any policeman will tell you the most dangerous call that he receives is to a domestic squabble, where a couple of people in a family are fighting, and you step in there, and all of a sudden the one that's called and was saying, come help, turns on you because you're not part of the family. It's okay for the family to beat on you, but he better not try. And you better not beat on him. Amen, because you're family. Amen. So the church is a family. Amen. We've got to feel that way tonight. I said, we've got to feel that way tonight. Amen. And that's what we are. You do not choose the family that you're born into. Amen. And you don't choose who's born into this family. Amen. Praise God. There might be some folks saved that you might not have chosen, but the Lord chose them. And then on the other hand, they might not have chose you either. Amen. But now we're a family, so we just got to get along. Amen. We got to love one another. And we do, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And that's what makes us love one another. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to love one another like a family. The second phrase that he uses here is the church of the living God. The word church is ecclesia. It's used the first time by Jesus in Matthew when he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." The church means, or the word church, ecclesia, means called out. Called out. Hallelujah. Have you been called out? Amen. I'm glad I heard that, and I'm glad that I responded to that. Amen. The word ecclesia does not mean chosen or selected. There's another word for that. But it simply means called out. In the city of Athens, Greece, which was the cradle of democracy, they had what they called city assemblies. And everybody could come. There was a call that went out, and everybody could come to the meeting. But it was like North America. You couldn't get anybody to vote. People would rather sit at home and gripe than go down to the forum and talk about it. Amen. And so, but it was open. There was a call. And that was an ecclesia. The ecclesia was that everybody's welcome. Everybody come. And that's what the church is. There's a call that goes forth to everybody. It's just that not everyone will respond. Amen. But those that do, those that hear the call and heed the call and obey the call, that's the church. Amen. I'm glad to be that church tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You know, the Lord called Abraham, didn't he? Yes, he did. He called. It was a personal call. And when God calls you, it's a personal call. Anybody remember when the Lord called you? Do you remember when he talked to your heart? There wasn't anything like it, was there? And there wasn't any doubt. Amen. Praise God. How beautiful when the Lord personally speaks to us. It was a personal call, and it was a call to separation. God always calls us to separation. The Lord says, "Get up from among those and go to a place that I will show you." God has called us out of the world. And that's not only a call out of, but it's a call unto. He said, "I will receive you unto myself." Hallelujah. Amen. So God has called us out. Amen. Praise God. That's why the Bible said that we're pilgrims and strangers. Some are stranger than others. Amen. But we're on a journey, aren't we? We don't fit in here. We're not supposed to. Amen. I like that old song. "And I can't feel at home in this world anymore." Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the call tonight. And you're not going to fit in here. And you're not supposed to fit in here. And you're not supposed to feel at home here. Amen. Because the Lord has called us. And we are the called out ones. And then he mentions the church is the pillar. Not pillow, but pillar. Some folks think it's a pillow. Amen. And they come and snooze. Amen. That does not offend me. Just come on anyway. I've heard people say, "Well, I was tired, so I stayed home." No, 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 no. Just come on. I don't care if you sleep. Just don't snore. Amen. Just come on. Amen. I think it's a sign that there's peace in the house of the Lord. We were building a church building, and a gentleman came just out of nowhere to help us on a Saturday, and he helped us, and he said, I'll be there in the morning. He said, I have found that Sunday morning, church is a good place to get a good nap. And so I said, yes, sir, you please come. Amen. He came, and that morning was one of those mornings when nobody could sleep. He sat through about half of it and left. He couldn't get a good nap for anything. Amen. He was in a Pentecostal church. Praise God. And he just couldn't get comfortable. Now, if you're a saint and you're saved, amen, and you're tired, I'm not going to blame you. Not going to throw any songbooks at you, nothing like that. Amen. Just come on anyhow. Amen. It's all right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'll tell an embarrassing story. It's always embarrassed me. But I was really, really tired. I was, of course, pastoring church. I was going to language school studying Spanish. And we were building a building all at the same time. Now, that's a pretty good combination. Keeps you hopping. I was tired. And I went to the prayer room. And, of course, nobody else showed up. And I was praying. And I was praying with my head on my hand like this. And then after a while, I heard folks singing. And I walked out and realized I'd fallen asleep in the prayer room. And I walked in, they were right in the middle of song service. And I had one of those big red spots right on my forehead. I couldn't deny a thing. So I'm not going to get upset with you. Amen. I understand that. I've been there. I've done that. Amen. Praise God. But the house of God is the pillar. Paul was writing to Timothy, who was a pastor of the church in Ephesus. Ephesus was one of the largest churches in the New Testament. It was a very, very great church. I don't know, again, historians say, I don't know where they get their figures, but they said the church in Ephesus was about 80,000 members. Pretty good-sized church. Amen. And Timothy was trying to pastor that bunch, and Paul was writing this letter to him. In the city of Ephesus was the temple of Diana, or Artemis. It was a magnificent temple. It was one of what they called seven wonders of the world in its time. It had 127 pillars made of marble, and each of those was a gift of a king. It was a marble pillar that stood up high in the heavens, and it was decorated with gold and with jewels, and each of those 127 pillars was very beautiful. And so I think the idea that Paul is conveying when he says the church is the pillar. The church is the display place. Amen. This is how God displays His Spirit. He displays it in you and in me. Amen. I had the privilege some years ago to go to Washington, D.C. and see the Hope Diamond. Anybody ever seen the Hope Diamond? I hope you get to. Amen. But the Hope Diamond it's not the largest in the world, but it's one of the most expensive and exquisite diamonds in the world. It's one of the most expensive diamonds in the world. It's probably the most famous diamond in the world. And it was in the Smithsonian Institute, and when you go to see it, it's in a room. There's all kinds of jewels and all kinds of beautiful stones, but the Hope Diamond, it's the centerpiece. And there's an armed guard standing beside it. And it's on a case that is, it's clear, but it's, you know, it's thick, and it's got an electronic surveillance all around it. I mean, it's protected. And it's in a dark box. It's either dark blue or black, and it's so perfectly positioned. And there's a light that shines down on the Hope Diamond just so that it catches its most beautiful facets, and they just burst into a display of dazzling color. It is an awesome thing to see. Amen. And it's displayed just so. Amen. And God chose you, the church, to display Him. The Bible says that we are epistles that are known and read of all men. Jesus chose us to display Himself. That's our job. We are here to display the beauty of holiness and the beauty of the Holy Ghost and the beauty of the life in Jesus Christ. That's our job. That's what we're here for. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. That ought to make you feel pretty special tonight. And sometimes you're going to have some dark times in your life. You're going to have some periods of time that it gets tough. And the situation, it seems like night. And you don't know what to do, where to turn. Amen. You know what's happening? God has chosen a spotlight for you. He said, I'm going to turn the lights out for a little while. You're going to walk through a difficult spot for a little while because I want people to see Jesus in you. I want the world to see how a Holy Ghost child of God will stand up when the pressure is on. Isn't that what happened to Job? Have you not considered my servant Job? There is none like him. God said, I'm going to turn the spotlight on Job for a little while, and I'm going to let you see what love for God will do, how it will keep you through the loss of everything. Amen. So when you go through difficult times in your life, God has chosen you for a moment in the spotlight. But it says, oh, I want to be in the spotlight. Well, that's your time. But whenever you're in the spotlight, it's dark all around. So next time you're walking through the valley, remember, I'm in the spotlight now. God has chosen to display, for some reason, my life right now. Amen. Praise God. There was a great and famous nurse by the name of Florence Nightingale. Anybody ever heard of Florence Nightingale? You know, she served soldiers on the battlefield. And one young man looked up at her, and these were his words. He said, you are Jesus to me. You are Jesus to me. Amen. And that's what we're called to be, folks, just like him. We're called to represent him. That's why the house of God, the church, is so special. It's so important because we are chosen to show Jesus to this world. And then he says, you are the pillar and the ground of truth. The word ground could be used, if you've ever heard the word buttress, it is a pillar that supports a building. It's what carries the weight from the roof and the walls to the ground. It's the support of the building. Without the ground or the buttress, it would fall. It wouldn't stand. So that's what these beams are here tonight. They carry the weight of this roof down to the foundation. And that's what makes this building stable. And that's what makes it stand. And so what he's saying about the church, he says, you are the ones that carry the weight, but you carry it down to the foundation. Amen. And the foundation is what holds the weight. And what's the foundation? Amen. The apostles and the prophets. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Amen. Hey, folks, we're built on a solid foundation. It has been tried. It's been through storms. Amen. It's been through earthquakes. It's been through troubles. It's been through everything that can be thrown at it. And it's still rock solid. It hasn't moved. It's still there. It's still steady. It doesn't show any signs of wear. There are no cracks. There's no weariness. Amen. Our foundation, Jesus Christ, is still just as steady and just as strong as it was the first day the foundation was laid. Amen. Hey, this old church, it's going to keep standing. Amen. Praise God. And then it says that the church is the pillar of truth. That's why we got to love the truth. That's why we have to value the truth. Amen. That's why we cannot change the truth. Amen. Praise God. That's why we have to genuinely love the truth. Amen. The difference in knowing the truth and loving the truth is a distance from the head to the heart. You can have it here and you'll know the truth. But you get it here, you'll love the truth. And a lot of folks haven't made that distance yet. You got to make this little journey from the head to the heart. And that makes all the difference in the world. Amen. That's what causes you to stand when others fall. Because you have it not only in your head, but also in your heart. Amen. I'm talking about the church tonight. The house of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm thankful for this house, aren't you? Praise the Lord. Amen. It's going to stand regardless of what the world does. Regardless of what happens around us, the church is still going to stand. The book of Hebrews chapter 10, the writer continues with this important subject. 10 and 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Confidence, boldness. Boldness is confidence. What he's saying is that we can enter with confidence into the Holy of Holies. If you remember in the Old Testament, the Holy of Holies in the temple was where the presence of God dwelt. That was where the high priest could go just one time in the year on the Day of Atonement. And it was covered by a thick veil. And it contained the powerful presence of God. But the Bible says that now, hallelujah, that we enter into the holiest, the Holy of Holies, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we enter with confidence. Amen. Oh, I don't ever want to come to church and not enter the presence of God. I don't want to ever come into a service and sit there and clip my fingernails and pop my chewing gum. Amen. And be inattentive to the presence of God. Because it's a privilege. Amen. It's a blood-bought privilege to be able to feel and enter in to the presence of God. Hallelujah. Even when I'm weary, and I am many times, but I want to get a hold of myself and say, hey, self, Jesus is in this place. And you might be tired, but you're going to praise Him. You might be weary, but you're going to clap your hands. You might be weary, but you're going to reach down somewhere inside and get a hold of a song, and you're going to sing it anyhow. Because you are in the presence of the Almighty God. And this is a blood-bought privilege. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said, and by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil that is His flesh. You know, do you remember what happened when Jesus was crucified in the old temple? The Bible says that thick, huge, heavy, dark veil was torn in half. Amen. It was torn from top to bottom. It was ripped away. Hallelujah. And everybody could see that He wasn't there. Do you know what's interesting about the temple in Jerusalem? After the Jews were dispersed in 606 B.C., in 586 B.C., the last bunch left. And then after they returned 70 years later, did you know even after they rebuilt that temple, they never had the ark again? And to this day, we don't know where it is. In the days of Jesus Christ, when they went to the temple, there was no ark of the covenant. It wasn't there. So they built the veil and they built the Holy of Holies, but it was an empty room. There was nothing in there. Amen. And I'm not sure but what the Lord was saying. Hey, I want you to see that what you've been worshiping for the last 400 years is just an empty room. I'm not there anymore. Hallelujah. I'm not there anymore. Praise God. Hey, but what he's talking about is the rending of the veil of his flesh. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The rending of his own flesh, his own body, his own wounding, the shedding of his own blood. He said, that's what made the way for you to enter into the holy place. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. And having an high priest over the house of God. You know what's beautiful about having Jesus in your life? He makes a way right into the holy place of God. Right to the throne. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I can give you the address to the White House. 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C., USA. Amen. Isn't that real helpful? Now you go there and that's all it'll get you is the address. I don't know how to get you in. You can go on your own. You can find it, but I don't know how to get you in there because I don't have any way to get in myself. But Jesus not only knows the way, he said, I am the way. He not only can tell you about heaven, he can take you to heaven. He not only can tell you about the presence of God, he can take you directly into the presence of God. Hallelujah. There's no reservation in Jesus Christ. Amen. Because he's over the house of God. He's the boss. He knows all about it. Hallelujah. And he can get you in tonight. Praise God. I know there's folks that get all excited. Boy, I got tickets to this ball game or that ball game or to this concert or that concert or to this thing or that thing. Amen. That may be well and good, but I'm going to tell you something tonight. I don't have any tickets to concerts or ball games, but I got a ticket to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. I've got a ticket to the presence of the Almighty God. Amen. When I have troubles in my life, when I have sickness in my life, when I have trouble in my family, or there's a need that comes, or a need in the church, I'm so glad that I know the way. I know who's over the house of God. Amen. I can go to the way, and he not only will give me the address, he says, but I'll take a hold and I'll lead you there, and I'll take you directly into the presence of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll introduce you to the great physician, just like he introduced Brother Lozano last week. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We serve a living God tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So he says, let us draw near. Everybody say, draw near. Why wouldn't we want to? There ought to be something that just draws us to the house of God. Amen. There ought to be something that just draws us into his presence. You ever have times you just want to spend time with the Lord? You ever just have times that, you know, I just need to get alone with God? Amen. I just need to talk to the Lord a while. Amen. I appreciate all the advice, all the good intentions, but I just need to get somewhere and talk to the Lord for a little while. Amen. Because he has what I really need. Amen. Other people can tell me about the throne. They can tell me what the Lord has done for them. But I need to get in the presence for myself. What was it the old fellow said? He said, I want to get to the spout where the glory comes out. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said, heaven kissed the earth and I was right in the middle of the smack. Amen. You ever felt like that? Praise God. That's a good place to be. Hallelujah. Amen. All because of Jesus Christ. Let us draw near. And then he said, let us hold fast. Hang on. Hang on. He said, hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. This faith he's talking about here is what you believe. And he says, don't let go of it and don't waver. Just keep believing what you believe. Praise God. Amen. Don't let anything shake you. I read something some time ago. I was reading a magazine, and it was talking about these men that are great scholars. They have literally given their life to searching the Bible, and they've been to all these digs and dug things up and know the original languages and all. They're very intelligent, very smart men. But all three of them were talking about how they lost their faith in God. How can you study the Bible that intently? How can you search so intently that you lose your faith in God? I'll tell you what they did. They started believing what people said more than what the Bible said. They started believing more about what people said about the Bible than they did about the Bible itself. Amen. I know we live in a scientific age when they're always coming up something that disproves the Bible. You just hang on a little while and they'll disprove that. I promise you they will. Amen. What was it back at in the 1800s? They came up with 100 proofs or 100 scientific facts that disproved the Bible. And guess what? All of those 100 facts have been proven false. And the Bible still stands. Hallelujah. Amen. And in the very building where they published that and they said, we're going to shut down the Bible. It's archaic. It's over. We don't need that old book anymore. Guess what? That's the headquarters where they print Bibles in Europe today. Amen. God has a funny sense of humor sometimes. He says, let me show you something, bud. I'm going to show you who's in charge here. Amen. Amen. Every now and then he'll just step on the scene and he'll say, let me show you who's in charge. Yes. I'm telling you tonight, don't you let go of this for what anybody says. I don't care. He may have more degrees behind his name than a thermometer, but you don't pay any attention to him. Amen. Not when it comes to the Bible. Not when it comes to truth. Not when it comes to what the Scripture says. You hang on, because it will always be true. God never changes. He's always the same. Let us hold fast. And then he said, let us consider one another, to provoke one another to love and good works. Amen. We ought to be provoking one another to good works. Amen. Encouraging one another to do good works. And that's our job, isn't it? That's what we're doing tonight. We're trying to encourage folks to do good works. Praise God. That's what the Scripture tells us that we should do. And then here's this verse. We hear this every now and then, and it's a worthy verse. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. In other words, he said, there are some people that don't feel like it's necessary to go to church. Now, why in the world wouldn't people want to go to church? Can you give me any good reason why folks wouldn't want to go to church? Amen. Well, I'll give you three. One of them is peer pressure. Some people don't go to church because they're afraid of what folks would say if they did. Amen. They're afraid to associate with us because of what their friends would say, or afraid of what the world would say. That's not a good reason to stay out of church. So another reason some people don't go to church is because of pride. Amen. They just don't go to church because of pride. Well, people up there, they're just not like me. Amen. Well, thank the Lord. I'm glad they're not. None of us would be here if we were like him. Amen. But some people don't go to church because of pride. Folks, they're not smart enough. They don't have enough money. They don't dress like I think they ought to dress. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that pride gets in people's way. There's some people that won't come to church because they're proud. And so instead, they'll choose a church that cares more about the steeple than it does about the people. Amen. And so what really happens is they just form a little social club of people that they feel are their equals in a social strata. Pride can keep people out of church. Shame can keep people out of church. There are some people that feel that they're just so bad that they can't go to church. Have you ever had the devil jump on you and call you a hypocrite and say, don't you go to church? After what you said, after what you did, you don't have any right going back there. You just stay home. Amen. That's just like telling somebody that's sick, don't you go to the hospital. They might help you over there. You might get healed if you go to the hospital. You stay home and be sick and miserable. Don't you dare go help get some help over there. Amen. Let me tell you something. The church is not a museum for perfect people. It's a house where people are healed. Amen. It's a house where people are forgiven. It's a place where people are restored. Amen. That there's not any perfect folks here. Sorry to shatter your illusion, but there's not one here. Amen. All of us are imperfect and struggling. But you know what? We keep coming because we know that we need it. Amen. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. And then he says, so much the more as you see the day approaching, the coming of Jesus Christ. You know what? I feel like we're closer today than we were when the writer wrote those words in Hebrews. Praise God. Hallelujah. It could happen any moment, couldn't it? He could come at any time. Praise God. The house of God. Isaiah 28:16 said this. Thus, therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. In other words, he that believes that is going to be stable. He's going to be secure. Praise God. Ephesians 2:20 said, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Let me ask you something. Who wrote this book? Amen. Yeah, he's the author. But the writers were prophets and apostles. Amen. Praise God. He said that's the foundation. The Word of God is the foundation. Amen. And he said, Jesus Christ, he's the chief cornerstone. He's the one that ties it together. Amen. Praise God. He's the one that brings it all. He's the one that holds it together. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And the apostle said, this stone that you builders set aside is naught. He said, the Lord has made him the head of the corner. He's the one that holds it together. Amen. Praise God, the house of God. Are you glad for the church tonight? Are you glad to be a part of the house of God? Amen. Praise God. I thank God tonight for the church of Jesus Christ. I thank God because he put me in this church. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. And let's just spend a few moments here thanking God that he chose us, that when he called us, we responded, and he placed us and put us in the place that he wanted us to be. Amen. Jesus, I'm glad tonight that you chose me. Hallelujah. You selected me. Amen. You sent out a call, and I thank you that I had faith to respond to it. Hallelujah. God, there's a lot of people in Athens, Texas, that need to listen. And there are some that are doing their very best to hear. They don't know where to go. They don't know how to respond. And so it's our responsibility to help find them tonight. Amen. There's some lost sheep here that have strayed away. They know about the Father's house. They lived here. They received the Holy Ghost in these altars. But because of the cares of life, things that happen, they allowed themselves to drift away. Help us, God, to find them and bring them home. There's some lost sons here. Amen. There's some people that this old world got in their eyes and got in their heart. For some reason, they slipped away. God, help us to find them and bring them home. Amen. There's some people that are lost here and don't even know it. Help us, God, to find them and reveal their lostness and then show them the Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We've got a big job to do. We want to be a display. Help us to be Christians. Help us to be Christians. Help us, God, to have a right attitude. Help us to have a right spirit. Help us to be like you. Help us not to get selfish. Help us, God, to be generous. Help us, Lord, to be caring and kind. Amen. Not full of self, but full of the Holy Ghost. We ask you, Lord, to help us to be the church of Jesus Christ. This world needs a light. It's dark outside. Amen. This world needs a hospital where it can go for healing. It needs an inn that they can come to. And I pray, God, that you help us tonight. We are the church. We are the church. This is it. Amen. We've got a big job. We've got a great responsibility. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have great privileges to be the house of God, the ground and the pillar of truth. Thank you tonight. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this church. Hallelujah. Are you glad tonight that God put you here? God put you in his house. I thank you tonight, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful to you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. We know that song Joel Hemphill wrote, said, I'm in this church, this glorious church. You know that? Amen. All right, let's see if we can do it. Amen. I'm in this church, this glorious church. I didn't join, no, I was born. I've had a new birth. Some glorious day, gonna sail away. By his grace, not by my works, I'm in this church. I'm in this church, this glorious church. Oh, I didn't join, no, I was born. I've had a new birth. Some glorious day, gonna sail away. By his grace, not by my works, I'm in this church. Hallelujah, I'm in this church, this glorious church. I didn't join, no, I was born. I've had a new birth. Some glorious day, gonna sail away. By his grace, not by my works, I'm in this church. Said I'm in this church, this glorious church. I didn't join, no, I was born. I've had a new birth. Some glorious day, gonna sail away. By his grace, not by my works, I'm in this church. Sing it with me. I'm in this church, this glorious church. I didn't join, no, I was born. I've had a new birth. Some glorious day, I'm gonna sail away. By his grace, not by my works, I'm in this church. Amen. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. And this church is going somewhere, folks. It won't be long. Hallelujah. God's got a place for us, and this is not it. Amen. We're headed for a city where the Lamb is the light. Amen. Praise God. Well, the Lord bless you. Amen. And we'll see you Sunday morning.